I estimate that the planet will be uninhabitable in less than 38 hours.
The distress call came in only 4 days ago. Why would Dr. Roshenko have waited so long before sending it?
Atmospheric dissipation is a rare and essentially unpredictable event. When it occurs, it proceeds rapidly. Dr. Roshenko may not have had sufficient warning.
A force rocks the ship.
What was that?
The dissipation effect is generating plasmonic energy bursts.
Is there any danger to the ship?
I do not believe so. However, we may experience intermittent system failures and power surges as a result.
Keep an eye on it.
Mr. Wolf, any luck?
There is still no response to our hail, sir. I'm attempting to scan the observation post.
He could be hurt. Maybe he can't respond.
Well, sensor interference is significant, but the post appears to be intact. Their power grid is still functioning. However, I am reading no life forms within the structure.
It's not like him to leave the post,
especially under these circumstances.
Captain, I'm detecting faint power emissions from a system of caverns near the post. It could be a deflector shield.
That can't be native to the planet. The Borellans don't have anything close to that level of technology.
Captain, request permission to lead an away team.
Picard is startled by the request.
Very well. But regardless of this planet's immediate situation, we must observe the Prime Directive. I want to minimize the risk of contact with the inhabitants. You will go down alone, Mr. Worf, and I want to have you surgically altered so that you could pass as a Borellan.
Aye, sir.
Worf heads for sickbay. Materializing on the planet's surface in the simple, hooded costume of a Borellan, Worf takes tricorder readings.
What are you doing here? You're not from our village. Who are you?
Who is this?
My name is Worf. I am a traveler.
How did you survive the storms?
I would know that voice anywhere. Worf, is it really you? It's good to see you. You've changed a lot in 4 years.
Nikolai?
Yes. This is my brother Worf. He's come to help us.
Nikolai grins broadly. Worf looks completely bewildered. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Homeward, voiced by Roland Bean. A comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet. The starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown. Streaming flat plains of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, and Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up. Explosive fusion builds to a warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light.
But if you were able to get here, the storms must have subsided.
Please.
Do you think it's safe enough to return to the surface?
Please, I must speak to my brother.
Worf and Nikolai move away from the group of Borellans.
Nikolai, what have you done?
They were dying. I refused to sit there safe in that observation post and watch it happen. I set up a deflector shield to screen these caves from the radiation, and then I brought them here.
What did you tell them?
They think I'm a Borellan. I told them I was from another village far from here.
Well, at least you had that much sense.
When I sent the distress call, I knew the Enterprise was in this sector, but I wasn't sure you'd be the one to come. I'm so glad that you're here, Worf.
Nikolai, there is nothing we can do for these people. You have only postponed their deaths.
I want to discuss that with your captain.
And I am certain he will want to speak with you.
Friends, my brother and I must go back to the surface. He has provisions and we'll need help bringing them here. We'll return shortly.
It's too dangerous. The storms can occur without warning if you're caught in what...
Don't worry. Worf is a seer. He understands the nature of the storms. He'll know when it's safe to travel.
Yes, that is correct.
Our seer died when the storms first came. We've been without his guidance for many weeks.
Let me go with you. I know the terrain better than anyone, and I can help.
No, Vorn. Worf and I will be safe. We'll return shortly.
Worry is etched on Worf's features as the two prepare to leave for the Enterprise.
Doctor, you were fully aware that the atmospheric dissipation could not be stopped. What did you hope to accomplish by assisting these people?
I was trying to give them a future. What I propose is we create an atmospheric shield on the planet. We can camouflage the equipment just as was done with my observation post. No one will ever know it's there.
You can't be serious.
Indeed, I am. I realize it will only provide atmosphere for a limited area on the surface, but it will be enough to save one village.
I have no intention of compounding what you have done by committing another gross violation of the Prime Directive.
Captain, the Borallans have a rich and beautiful culture, a deep spiritual life. They deserve the chance to survive.
And isn't that what the Prime Directive was truly intended to do? To allow cultures to survive and grow naturally?
Not exactly. The Prime Directive was designed to ensure non-interference.
But aren't we interfering either way? If we take no action, it's a conscious decision to let the Borallans die.
Exactly. We have the power to save some of them. All we have to do is exercise it.
We are sworn to uphold the principle of the Prime Directive, and until that is changed, there is no further course of action that we can take. Is that understood?
Nikolai looks distraught.
Some of my log recorders are still in my observation post. They contain most of my research. Since it appears that the only way I'm going to preserve the Borallan culture is in a museum, I request permission to return to the surface and retrieve them.
I'm afraid that won't be possible. But you can have full use of the ship's computer to set up a comlink and upload your data from here.
If there's nothing further, you're dismissed.
The officers disperse, leaving Nikolai and Worf alone. Nikolai is clearly upset. Worf looks uncomfortable.
I'm sorry, Nikolai. I wish there were another way.
Worf looks sympathetically at his human foster brother.
I am quite familiar with your communication systems. If you like, I will help you set up your comlink.
Nikolai looks inconsolable.
I'll do it myself.
Captain, atmospheric dissipation has accelerated over the past several hours. I estimate the planet's atmosphere will be completely gone within 3 minutes.
Captain, I've completed my data uplink. With your permission, I would like to integrate my research logs with the ship's library computer.
Of course.
The mesosphere is gone, sir. Plasmonic reactions are now beginning to break down the troposphere.
Put it on screen.
Ominous gray clouds billow across the planet's surface. The picture is suddenly distorted by interference.
What's going on?
It appears the plasmonic reactions are continuing to interfere with our sensors.
I thought you had compensated for that.
I had, sir. I will attempt to engage additional filtering elements. Visual reestablished.
As the dying planet comes back into focus, Picard stands and moves to the front of the bridge.
This is one of those times when we must face the ramifications of the Prime Directive and honor those lives which we cannot save.
I find no honor in this whatsoever, Captain. You will forgive me if I don't stay.
Nikolai leaves almost in tears. Picard eyes him scornfully. On the screen, the final clouds vanish from the planet, leaving it a grey, lifeless orb. All around the bridge, eyes are lowered as if in mourning.
You have the bridge, number one.
Helm, take us out of orbit. Set a course for Starbase 87, warp 5.
Aye, sir.
Sparks erupt from a console.
What happened? There appears to be an unusual power drain in the EPS distribution net.
What's the source?
Unknown, sir. It is difficult to localize.
The power drain is registered on my security grid as well, sir. It appears to be coming from Deck 10.
All right, Mr. Worf. Get a security team on it.
Aye, sir.
Worf hurries out.
Concentrate your scans on the EPS transfer links.
Worf takes out his tricorder and moves down the corridor, taking readings. He stops by the entrance to the holodeck.
Computer. Open holodeck 5.
Unable to comply. Holodeck 5 is in use.
Override. Authorization Worf, Theta 619.
Unable to comply. Holodeck control systems have been bypassed.
With the door having been opened from the inside, Worf enters with caution.
Worf, come in.
Worf steps forward into a replica of the Baralan caves. Nikolai stands in the shadows.
Nikolai, what are you doing here?
I have something to show you. Whatever you do, stay quiet. Look.
The wall in front of them becomes transparent. Worf stares as inside the virtual cave, he sees the Baralans going about their everyday lives.
I've done what you refused to do. I've saved them.
Closing his eyes, Worf sighs in exasperation.
I started thinking about this days ago when it became clear the planet was doomed. I knew if I could gain access to your ship's computer, I could generate a replica of the caves. The hard part was transporting the Baralans into the holodeck without anybody on the Enterprise noticing. But I was able to blank out the sensors and make it look like interference from the plasmonic bursts. And it worked perfectly. The Baralans were transported while they were sleeping. They never knew anything had happened.
Bridge.
It's a simple plan, really. That's the beauty of it. Worf, trust me. This is going to work.
Trust you? You never had any intention of obeying the captain.
I wasn't going to let those people die just because your captain started quoting Federation dogma to me.
Your duty was to respect the captain's orders and to uphold the Prime Directive.
Duty? That's all that really matters to you, isn't it? Well, I refuse to be bound by an abstraction. The lives of the people of Boral are far more important to me. You worry too much, Worf. You always did. Everything will work out.
You have disgraced yourself. And you have disgraced me. And I want nothing more to do with you.
You realize your career is finished?
I know that, Captain. And I would do it all again.
What do you expect us to do now? You have left us with a colony of Baralans who think they're still on their own planet.
I didn't beam them up without a plan. I've given this a lot of thought. I think we can find a new planet, an M-class world, that can be their new home.
A home which would look very different from Baral. You can't really believe that they'll be fooled.
That's where the holodeck comes in. I'll go back and tell the Baralans we're going on a journey to a different place where they'll be safe from the storms. The holodeck can gradually change the terrain as we travel so that, in the end, the holodeck simulation will match the conditions on the new planet. Then we'll simply beam them down.
Picard considers this.
What if it doesn't work? What if they become aware that something strange is going on?
Captain, I can't prepare for every contingency, but I assure you I'm accustomed to thinking on my feet. I'll deal with the situation as it evolves.
I'm not enthusiastic about this plan. But I don't see that we have another option. Very well, let's give it a try.
Thank you, Captain.
Shortly, options are discussed.
There are countless M-class planets in Federation space that can support the Baralans. We need to narrow the parameters.
It will take approximately 9.5 hours to complete the analysis.
Even then, there's no guarantee that we'll find a suitable planet.
That is correct, sir.
Captain, you'd better take a look at this.
What is it?
We've got a problem, sir. I don't think it's going to be possible to keep this holodeck simulation stable.
Why not?
The plasmonic energy bursts from the planet are affecting the ship's systems. We're having problems with the EPS systems and the power distribution matrix.
And as a result, the holodeck imaging processor has been severely destabilized.
It's not a question of whether the simulation will break down. It's a question of when.
There's no way around it?
Not while it's running. In order to fix it, I'd have to shut down all of the holodecks and reinitialize the entire system.
That will take hours.
We'll just have to hope the simulation holds long enough.
Very well, let's try it. Mr. LaForge, I want you to monitor this situation very carefully and keep an open comm link with the holodeck so as to be apprised of any problems.
Aye, sir.
Captain, I'll return to the holodeck as soon as my surgical alterations are completed, and I'll prepare the Borallans for their journey.
Considering the situation you have put us in, I don't think it's wise to leave you alone with those people. Mr. Worf will accompany you.
Sir, perhaps someone else would be a better choice. Counselor Troy is familiar with...
Mr. Worf, the Borallans already know you. There's no need to introduce them to anyone new.
Aye, sir.
Worf scowls as Nikolai bows and exits.
Keep a close eye on your brother. I don't want him making this situation worse than it is.
Picard leaves Worf looking less than happy. Worf and Nikolai enter the holodeck caves in Borallan dress.
My friends, we have returned. We have food. This is difficult to say, but you have a right to hear it. By the time Worf and I had reached the surface, the village was gone. The storms have destroyed everything. There is nothing left for us to return to.
We can't survive in here. Our supplies won't last forever.
That's why we must leave. There is a place far from here where there are no storms. It will be a difficult journey, but in the end, we will have a new home.
I know a way through the caves. We will travel safely until we return to the surface.
Where is this new land?
As we said, it is far from here. It will not be like the home you knew. Even the stars may be different.
Why would they be different? And how do you know we'll be safe there?
My brother is a seer. If he says we'll be safe, you must trust that we will be safe.
All heads turn sharply.
What's wrong?
Look!
She points to a rock pool which is beginning to disintegrate as the holodeck fails.
Do not worry. It is an omen.
What does it mean?
It is the sign of LaForge. It is a message to travelers. It is said when these lines appear and disappear in a pool of water, the road ahead will be filled with good fortune.
Hang in there, Worf. Give me just a second. There. That should do it.
The villagers gaze in wonder as the stark lines of the holodeck are replaced by pure spring water.
You see? Our journey is already blessed. The road ahead is long. Let us have a meal together, then we'll make preparations to leave.
The villagers, smiling happily at their good fortune, move away.
Worf, very good work. Apparently we don't make such a bad team after all.
We are not a team. I am here because Captain Picard ordered me here.
Worf, don't we both share the same goal? Aren't we both trying to make this plan work?
Only because you forced us into it.
I'm not ashamed of what I did. I'm not sorry I saved their lives.
You have not changed. You still expect people to solve the problems you create.
I'm not here to work out the issues of our childhood. I'm here to save a people who I care about. And if that upsets you, then so be it.
Nikolai leaves Worf standing frustrated, unable to respond.
These are the two planets which best match our search criteria. Drago 4 features an unusually large temperate zone. However, it is within 3 light-years of Cardassian space.
There are constant border disputes in that sector.
The alternative is Vaca 6. It is located in the Cabral sector.
That's pretty isolated.
It offers a less hospitable climate than the Borallans are accustomed to. However, it would still appear to be the better choice. Do you disagree, Doctor?
No, Data. You're right. Just that the enormity of what we're doing is overwhelming. We are deciding the future of a species.
It is a formidable responsibility.
There are so many questions we don't have answers to. What if the climate is so different that it affects them in a way that we can't anticipate? How do we even know they'll be able to survive? And if they do, How will their society evolve and what impact will it have on the Vakan system? We have no idea what this decision will mean to their future.
Doctor, I do not believe we can offer any guarantees. We can simply make the best choice we have at the moment.
All right, Data. Vaka 6 it is.
Data to Bridge.
Picard here.
We have located a new home for the Borallans, sir.
It is Vaka 6 in the Cabral sector.
We can reach that in 42 hours at maximum warp, sir.
Very well. Helm, set course for Vaka 6.
Aye, sir.
The Borallans sit around a large campfire and enjoy their meal. To one side, Worf looks around at the various faces. He scowls to see his brother, who is particularly friendly with one woman, Dobara. Worf looks across and sees the young man, Vorin. He is holding something, drawings or a chart of some kind. Worf moves over to him.
What is this?
Our chronicle. The history of our village. Doesn't your village keep a chronicle?
Not in this manner.
Then how do you teach your children their history? Who their ancestors were, where they come from?
We tell each other stories, make up songs.
Stories change with each person who tells them. But this will always be the same. Our chronicle has been maintained for 17 generations. I was only able to save the last 6. This shows the destruction of our village. This is you and Nikolai leading us to safety.
Worf looks almost guilty at hearing this and rises to his feet.
We must leave. Gather your belongings.
They all begin to assemble their possessions. Vorin, searching in his bag, suddenly looks up in panic.
One of the scrolls is gone. I must have dropped it in the passageway. I'll go find it.
Worf grabs his arm.
We must stay together. We'll have to leave it behind.
Worf, the Chronicle is the life of our village. Without that past, our future means nothing. I must find it.
Go, and return quickly.
As Vorin hurries away, Worf wonders what to do.
Seer.
I am an old man. Would you help me with my gear?
Of course.
A young woman smiles at Worf.
That is Tirana, my daughter. I am fortunate she was old enough to survive the storms.
She is a fine girl.
Oh, she is a beautiful girl. She has not been promised to anyone. If I do not reach our new home, I would like her to become your wife.
You will reach your new home. I promise.
Worf pats the old man affectionately on the shoulder, and they move off. Vorin, light in hand, moves through the caves looking for the missing scroll, which he finds. He bends down to pick it up. Suddenly, ahead of him, he sees pipes and flashing lights on a wall. Brow furrowed, he moves forward to investigate. He stretches out his hand to touch the wall, which disintegrates and reveals the door to the holodeck. Eyes wide in wonder, he puts down his light and scroll and approaches the doors. They open suddenly. He steps back looking shocked. He walks timidly forward into the corridor of the Enterprise. He continues down the corridor, terrified by unfamiliar faces and uniforms.
Can I help you?
He staggers into 10 forward. Troy and Riker notice his plight.
Are you okay? Do you need some help? It's okay.
All right, everybody, back off. Back off.
It's all right. I can't tell you. No, I
can't either. Vorin looks absolutely terrified as the Starfleet officers approach him.
I know things must look very strange to you. But everything's going to be all right. No one's going to hurt you. We're friends of Nikolai and Worf. Don't be afraid.
Nikolai?
Yes. He's my friend. That means you are too. I promise, I won't hurt you.
Please, help me.
Deanna stretches out a reassuring hand to the trembling youngster.
Where am I? I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. His neurophysiology is very unusual. I can't wipe his memory.
I see. How is he?
As well as can be expected. I've given him a mild sedative and Troy's been speaking with him. And he seems much calmer.
Does he understand the situation?
I think so.
Contact Mr. Worf. Make sure that he knows what's going on.
Here he is now. This is Captain Picard.
Vorin, isn't it?
Why did you bring us here?
Your planet was dying. It could no longer support life. We took you away from it.
But we never left the caves.
We have the ability to create the illusion of other places, like the caves on your planet. You have actually spent the last 2 days here on this starship, not on Baral.
Then our home is gone.
Yes.
Vorin, listen to me. We can visit many other worlds. We can take you to one where you can build a new life.
A new life?
A chance for your culture, your people, to survive and grow.
How can we grow when everything that made us who we are is gone?
Picard and Troy look at him with sympathy. On the holodeck, Nikolai leads the Baralans up a steep, rocky slope. There are few plants, and it is clearly very hot.
Dobara, you go on ahead.
Nikolai makes his way back down the line of climbers. Worf goes to help the old man, Kataris.
I will carry your pack. Go join the others.
Thank you, sir.
Worf easily lifts the old man's pack and helps him up a steep rock as Nikolai approaches.
It'll be dark soon. A few hours.
Would you ask Mr. LaForge to create a suitable campsite for us a few kilometers from here? What's wrong?
Vorin has left the holodeck.
How did he get out?
I do not know, but Dr. Crusher cannot erase his memory.
What will they do with him?
They have explained the situation to him. He must make his own decisions.
Wait. Are you saying that if Vorin wants to come back in here, they'll let him?
That is right. He is not a prisoner.
But if he comes back here and tells the others what he has seen on the Enterprise, everything we have done will be for nothing.
Then you should have considered that before you beamed them on board. But you never think of the consequences of your acts.
If you mean by that I'm willing to do something while others hesitate, that's true.
Everywhere you go, you create chaos. How many times did our parents lie awake at night wondering what kind of trouble you were in?
Oh, if only I could have been like you. Worf, the perfect son!
I was not perfect, but I was not wild and disobedient.
Of course not. You were too busy doing your duty.
I would rather be accused of that than making our mother weep. But I see it is clear you have no intention of changing. I see no reason to discuss it further.
Nikolai looks sad as Worf strides off and takes Dobara's hand. The travelers trudge wearily over the dusty, rocky terrain. Later that night, Worf moves out of earshot of the campfires to use his communicator.
Commander, the holodeck malfunctions are increasing.
I'm running every stabilization routine I know.
How much longer until we reach the new planet?
We'll be there in less than 8 hours. You're just going to have to hold things together a little while longer.
Someone is coming.
Worf looks round to see Dobara.
May I speak with you?
Yes, of course.
They sit together on a nearby rock.
I don't know what Nikolai said to you, but please forgive him.
It is an old argument.
I've never seen him like this. He's usually so confident, so sure of himself, but now he seems different. Do you know why?
No, I do not.
Ever since Varn was lost, people have been afraid.
Worried that we won't reach our new home.
We need Nikolai's strength now more than ever. When the storms first came to our village, many of us were ready to die. But Nikolai refused to let us. He gathered us together and led us into caves. He saved us. He is a brave and compassionate man. And I love him. Please, go to him. Make things right between you. I want us to be a family.
Us?
Yes. I want you to consider yourself my brother. After all...
She reaches for Worf's hand and places it on her stomach.
You're going to be the uncle of my child.
Worf almost smiles, then frowns and is completely lost for words. Enterprise enters orbit around the green planet Vaca 6.
We're in synchronous orbit over the beamdown site, sir.
Good. Miss LaForge, how much longer before we can transport the Baralans?
A few more hours, Captain, but we've got some problems here.
I don't think the holodeck's gonna last that long. We've had materialization errors and resolution failures all over the place, and it's getting worse. The simulation could fall apart any minute.
We'll have the transporter room standing by, but we may have to transport the Baralans, whether you're ready or not. Please keep Mr. Worf apprised.
Aye, sir.
You have the bridge, number one. We still have one more problem to worry about.
The captain strides off to where Vorin sits miserably, cross-legged on the floor of guest quarters. As the door alarm sounds, Vorin looks confused, unsure what to do.
Yes.
We have arrived at the planet that I told you about. Have you made a decision?
I believe I would like to go back to my people.
I see. What do you intend to tell them?
I don't know.
If you tell them the truth, what will happen? Will they believe you?
I'm not sure. It is a fantastic story.
Perhaps they will think that you have had an hallucination, or that you're insane.
I don't think I would like to live the rest of my life knowing what I know and being regarded as a madman.
On the other hand, they may believe your fantastic story. They would learn about alien worlds, starships.
That would be disastrous. It would destroy everything they believed in. I can't tell them the truth. But I don't think I can live with a secret.
Then stay here. Make a future for yourself with us.
I need some time. Please.
Deeply concerned, the captain leaves Vorin to his traumatic decision.
How could you have made it with a Borellan? What were you thinking?
I don't owe you an explanation. This is a matter between Dabar and myself.
As usual, you are only thinking of yourself.
And as usual, you are here to point out the error of my ways.
You have treated Dabar with dishonor.
I have not. I love her, and we're going to raise our child together.
That is not possible. I cannot allow you to remain here.
You'll have to kill me first.
The grid-lined walls of the holodeck begin to flash visibly through the scenery as the system fails.
What does it mean?
The storms have returned.
We'll all be killed.
No, you won't. Worf has the power to end the storms once and for all.
Yes, but everyone must take shelter in the tents.
The tents won't protect
you. Worf will protect you. You must trust him. Hurry, hurry, get to your tents now.
Commander, it might be helpful if you could produce a storm, wind, lightning, and thunder.
I'll see what I can do.
The Borellans in their tents, Worf and Nikolai dematerialize from the holodeck, reappearing moments later in an identical setting, but on the surface of the new planet. The Borellans emerge from their tents, looking around in wonder. The storms have disappeared.
The storms will not return.
As I said he would, my brother Worf has saved us all.
Nikolai beams at Worf in gratitude. Worf half returns his smile in spite of himself.
Captain's log, stardate 47427.2. The Borellans have safely reached the site of what will eventually become their new village. None of them suspects they ever left their planet. However, our success has come at a high price.
I think it was some form of ritual suicide.
He said that he had nowhere to go.
He would have died even if we hadn't interfered.
But he wouldn't have died alone. And afraid.
Are you saying you're sorry we saved the Borellans?
No, of course not. Our plan for them worked out well. But I wish that Vorin could have bridged the gap between our two cultures. I would have liked the chance to have known him better.
Picard and the Doctor look sadly down at the young man's body. In the Borellan village, Worf walks among the tents. He sees Nikolai and Dabara together.
Go in.
Nikolai, don't.
Please.
Nikolai walks over and stands facing his brother.
I told you, you would have to kill me to get me away from here.
I do not want to fight you, Nikolai.
Things were never easy between us, were they?
No.
It's my fault. If I'd been more like you, we wouldn't have had so many problems.
No. If you had been more like me, these people would not be here now. You gave them a chance at a new life.
And I intend to share that life with them. The village will need a new chronicle. Someone has to begin it. My child will need a father. My place is here. I'm finally taking responsibility.
A grin spreads over Worf's face.
You were never good at drawing. How will you keep a chronicle?
I learned quickly.
Then perhaps there is hope.
After a brief, awkward moment, the brothers embrace warmly. Worf turns to leave. He spots the Chronicle and takes hold of it, turning back to Nikolai.
Could I take this with me?
It's yours.
I will have to explain all of this to Mother and Father.
They won't understand.
They may. I will tell them that you are happy.
Nikolai raises his hand and smiles a fond farewell as Worf turns to leave. The end.